What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, you can call in. You can call in. You can email us. You can text us. Whatever way you'd like to get a hold of our good friend Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results. Like, you are very accessible for people who have questions, right, Mimi?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, you make it easy for them. So however they do it, when we're make sure reminding them throughout the show how they can get in touch with you. Because this is going to be a great day for them to get that out into the ether instead of just thinking on it themselves.
Yes. And it's so funny that thing?
Our open?
Yes, our open. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Yeah.
Is there anything more appropriate than that for a real estate show? I think it's perfect.
But just giving that opportunity to people, because I was talking to you and our good friend Shelly Ferris, who is also with us from Caliber Home Loans, just talking about the freedom that you get if you can get to that point. Like, there's lots of reasons why people go, I'm going to keep renting for a while. I get that when you have a while. Yes. And as somebody who has a rental property, I totally understand. You know, like, there's reasons why you would want to keep renting and what you're working on and lots of options. And you're fortunate if you rent from people like me, because we're not sitting here trying to, like, get rich quick off of you. But a lot of people are here to try and keep you poor and broke, and you need to go buy your own house.
You don't know what you don't know, right? And there's a lot of fear when you've rented. You understand what that's like. You know, it's the fear of the unknown that paralyzes people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And really think about it, because you are already paying a mortgage,
right?
Just not yours.
Exactly.
And you're making your landlord very happy by that, so that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you could be taking that money and building wealth and building equity. And so I have a chart from Keeping Current Matters, which is a source that I follow regularly.
And I'm just going to help you one second. So we were talking about fear. And so I had this quote come across my view this morning. And it said, when it comes to fear, you have two options. You can option one, forget everything and run. Or option two, face everything and rise.
Exactly.
And so you're trying to help people rise. So just face your fears. Go ahead. Get out there.
Listen, y'all. This interest rate thing is nothing but a thing.
Right.
Historically, anywhere from 7% to 9% interest, that has been historically the average.
Mm-hmm.
We just have had, we've been spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
We just have, and we didn't even know that we were, but we were.
And I mean, a lot of us, we had houses before. I had one then, and I have one now. You'll be okay.
Yes.
Go get one.
So here's something that I want to go over with everybody. The thing that you cannot do when you're renting, you cannot tap into your landlord's equity. He's building a lot of equity. In fact, he's probably going to build $102,787 projected over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? That's a nest egg right there, y'all. That is a nest egg. It's a safety net. It's a soft place to land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so projections over the next 5 years. In 2022, if you bought a $390,000 home, which is not much higher than our average here in the Twin Cities, it's projected to go up to $492,787 by 2027. Now, if you think you're going to be alive in 2027, I think now would be a good time to have a good conversation with us.
You need somewhere to live, and you might as well make it work for you.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, the prices are not coming down like what I think some people think. That's that's a big fear out there is, oh my gosh, it's going to crash again. It can't crash because we simply do not have enough homes for the people to live in. And, and this is a nationwide thing. Now, here in the Twin Cities, we have 1.9 month of inventory. We need six. We need six, y'all. Six.
Right.
we don't have enough homes.
Right.
And that is why the demand is still high, because people need to live somewhere.
And we've talked about this on your show, and also when we talked with our friends from ClearStep Financial. We know that there will be corrections throughout all of these things. But
always.
There's always ways that you can still benefit during a correction if you put yourself in the right position to try to be able to do that.
And, exactly.
You know, buying a home and having that kind of stability usually is not going to hurt you if there's some sort of economic correction.
Right.
You know, you've got experts here to help you with this. We've all three in this room bought homes.
Right.
Several homes.
Yes.
And some more than others. Miss Shelley here. You know, if we don't have an answer to your question on what to do once you move into a house or once you are able to do it, we can walk you through every single step. And there's no question that you're going to ask us that either A, we don't know, or B, we can't find out.
Right. Exactly.
Not only will you know the answer, the other thing I like to remind, and I've done this to some people in my circle, that whole fear and shame spiral that we put ourselves in, where you don't want to ask because they're going to think that I made a mistake or something was wrong. You guys have also seen that, done that, all these things. So you're not going to sit there and go, you know what, you're the worst. Yeah. You know, whatever their self-talk is, you know, isn't what the reality is going to be when they talk to you.
I've spent a lifetime asking stupid questions, and I put that in quotes.
Yeah.
And I could not care less what anybody thinks about my question, because if I don't know, how are you else going to know unless you ask it?
Exactly. Right.
Okay, but I'm going to interrupt this because this is fun and all.
Yes.
But we have a giveaway.
Yes. We have to, and it's a kind of timely giveaway.
It is.
Because we are moving into, you know, kind of like a lot of people are thinking about fall and Thanksgiving. And so they're like thinking about, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get my turkey?
Yes.
So this is timely.
And so with real estate, therefore goes cooking in your own kitchen.
Right. Absolutely.
And a bird in every pot.
There we go.
You know, something like that. Okay. So we are here on the Red Hot Real Estate Show and Red Hot Real Estate Group are going to be doing a turkey drawing. We're going to collect names for the next 3 weeks. On the 20th, we're going to be drawing it live, and Miss Shannon is going to be doing the honors of picking.
Oh, wonderful.
So here are the rules. You get one entry when you call in on the show and you ask us either a real estate or a mortgage related question. You must leave your name, phone, and email with our producer, Hope.
Right.
And if you'd like to earn a second entry, you have to call first to get the first one. You can't skip a step.
Right.
The second entry, you can like us on Facebook, the Red Hot Real Estate Group, or you can text buyer guide or seller guide to 651-578-2218. And we're going to be giving a really nice turkey for some lucky listener.
Exactly. Big enough that you're like, oh my gosh, give it to me in time so I have time to thaw it out.
There we go.
Don't worry. We're going to hook you up.
There you go. And that's it. Turkey
that's
talk.
Awesome.
Right.
Yes.
So if you want to call in with your question, it's easy to find us at 651-641-1071. Shelley, I don't believe we did your NMLS number yet, did we?
I think you're right.
Okay.
So mine is 367-826 and Caliber Home Loans 15622.
Right.
Okay. Now, how much time do we have?
Huh? Oh, we got three.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just jump in.
Take that back. Two. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We want to stay on track for everybody listening because we're so professional. Title of the show today is Inflation and Interest Rates. And Shelley and I have spent some time, you know, talking about how our customers and clients are feeling about this shift in the market.
Right.
Everybody knows it's happened. It's happening. It's moving. It's fluid.
It's real.
It's real. And we know that that has given folks a moment to pause until we can kind of shake it out and figure out what's going to happen. Is it going to, you know, I think people are afraid it's going to be worse, or they don't know exactly how it's going to go.
Right, or how bad it's going to get.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, Shelley, I think one of the questions I think that is important for people to know is, why do the interest rates and the Fed rate move in tandem?
So we roll the dice. No, I'm kidding. It's a bad day. It's no.
It's the wizard.
Exactly. So interest rates, they move in tandem with inflation, in that inflation And interest rates hate inflation.
Right. Okay.
So everybody kind of knows that now because right. of what's happened the last 6 months or so. But it works in tandem with the supply and demand of money. And that's what it really all comes down to. So when you hear on the news that the Fed's increased the rates again to mm-hmm. help inflation and you go, how's that going to help inflation? You just made getting a house more expensive. It's to tame down the fiery burn that is our economy,
right?
So that it can be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the feds are attempting to do, is to affect the supply and demand of money. And that's why the interest rates are going up,
right?
Because it's making you less likely to do anything because that interest rate's going up.
Right.
Okay. And so we're in this business and we dislike this as much as you do, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have to say that the fiery pace of the real estate world before interest rates changed in January was not sustainable
right.
at all.
It's the truth.
And you know, when you take a $300,000 house and then it go into 50 bids and $100,000 over asking price, where even our poor appraisers, there's no way to substantiate
exactly.
that
Mm-mm.
at all. So while I think that my personal opinion is they've pushed it too far, too
right.
fast, this is the whole reason for it.
And that's so, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you.
When we come back, we'll continue talking about the things to do with inflation and interest that have to do with real estate and mortgage.
You can also be part of the show. Again, that'll also get you into that drawing for that turkey giveaway on the 20th. The number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1. Also available as a podcast. Just go to our website, mytalk1071.com. Use that keyword, Red Hot. Hanging out here with Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and also from Caliber Home Loans, Ms. Shelley Ferris. And we went over kind of a definition not only of inflation, but you both shared why inflation kind of needs to happen.
Yes. Well, yeah, talking
sadly,
out of both
yeah.
sides of my mouth.
Well, you cannot like it, but you cannot like it, but also see the value of
right.
it. That's what I really saw what you were saying. It's like,
well,
it's not our favorite thing, but we needed to do something.
In January, you literally could see miles of buyers wrapped around blocks. And I kid you not, I am not exaggerating.
Right.
And, you know, it. While that sounds like that would be very exciting for sellers, it's also very arduous
mm-hmm.
to have to go through right. all of that. They're in your house.
Right.
You know, you're having to wade through, you know, dozens and dozens of offers. You know,
yes.
it sounds wonderful, but it also is very, very difficult.
Right.
Because, I mean, what else can you do to make your offer the very, very best? And, right. you know, so you get into all kinds of situations. Price is not always the thing that's going to trip their trigger.
Right.
You know what? But it's blind offers. You have to make it. It's just like roulette.
Right.
You know, you don't know what's important to them.
Right.
You know, you're getting dozens of phone calls from agents to go, what's important to your seller?
Right.
We really want to win. Please
right.
pick us.
But
and
you
also
don't get a home inspection.
Exactly.
And you don't get all the protections that you really need
you
to have.
You couldn't really look into it to
exactly.
make sure that you were marrying the right home.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there were just so many things that were just out of line.
Yes.
They were just off.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was having a good time except for maybe the banker that got the deposit from the sale of the house.
Right.
But, you know, then you turn around and those same people were going to have to live someplace. So mm-hmm. the most likely they were going to be buying something and going through the exact same thing, which was also a fear. Fear of, oh, what if I can't find the house to replace the house that I currently actually like?
So everybody stayed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, the dilemma that caused some of these interest rates hikes, you know, to keep happening, to slow that nonsense down. And indeed, it has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market has for mm-hmm. sure shifted. But, folks, when you got to sell, you got to sell. When you got to buy, you got to buy. And it's always going to happen. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. And
right.
then once all of this becomes normal and you've heard about it for a few months, then, you know, then you don't want to be that seller that has waited until we have 6 months of inventory and now it's balanced. Now it's equal. do it now if indeed selling is something that you're going to want to do in the next couple of years. Look how fast we went from one month of inventory to almost two. It was like warp speed.
Right,
and
exactly.
So then how fast will it take us to go from 1.9 months of inventory that we have now to four?
Right.
Boy, four will feel like, you know, you've just jumped in a pile of leaves.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like eternity. What? Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. There's so many houses to choose from. Right.
My house has been on the market for 3 weeks. What in the world is going on?
Nothing's
here?
Wrong. We just are we're stabilizing it's and different. Normalizing.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to interrupt this segment to also promote our turkey.
Right.
One bird in a pot per house. Not really. But do call us today and get in on this drawing. We're going to be drawing it the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Our entry rules, you get, come on and ask us a question about real estate or mortgage. It can be stupid as all get out, and we don't care. You got to leave your name and phone and email so that we know how to get the turkey to you. And you can get a second entry by just texting buyer guide or seller guide to 651-578-2218. And also, you can get a second entry by liking us on Facebook, the Red Hot Real Estate Group.
Right.
Okay, Shelley. Shelley, I've given her a math problem.
Right. And not just a regular math problem, like a word problem. There was like a train and a locomotion going from leaving Chicago. Like all kinds of stuff was going on.
Thank goodness I had an extra hour of sleep.
Exactly.
Okay. So here is a real true life example of who would you rather be? Would you rather be a buyer in January or now?
Okay.
Okay. So in January, let's just say we took a hypothetical house that was on the market and was listed for $600,000.
Okay.
That house easily could have sold for $700,000.
Easily.
Easily. And the interest rates in January, let's just say they were 4.5%. And so the payment for that with 10% down, principal and interest, would have been $3,192. Okay. That was January.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, buying in November, so is that $700,000 or that $600,000 home going to be priced that way? Well, maybe we would list it at $700,000 and take a $50,000 hit, and you get it for $600,000. So interest rate on November, 7.25%. Your payment is really not that much higher.
Okay.
$3,990. So that's about, how much is that?
$800.
$800 difference,
yep.
Principal and interest, which sounds like a lot. But if you factor over 30 years, tell them how much they save.
Ugh, I'm going to choke. Almost $300,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
$298,880.
Okay. So you can see that you're getting a cheaper house.
Mm-hmm.
Your
mm-hmm.
interest rate is not going to be cheaper
right now.
But Shelley mm-hmm. is going to explain everything about how interest rates are going to come down mm-hmm. when we go into a recession.
Mm-hmm.
Because why?
Because, it's the money supply. It's how the feds control this interest rate piece, and it controls the heating of our economy. So as recession comes, the feds open up the gates more, if you will, of the money. Money floods the market.
Right.
Interest rates drop. And then, that's how it works. That's exactly how it works.
And so, for our buyers out there, there could never be a better time of year to mm-hmm. buy a house than November and December.
In Minnesota.
Sellers Amen. Are very motivated. They, you know, for whatever their motivation is, we all know nobody loves to plow or shovel.
Right.
I mean, maybe somebody does.
That's so funny.
But they're lying to themselves. They don't really like
maybe
to do
that.
Maybe
they got a really good snowblower last year. So they're like, I got the fancy snowblower.
Right.
I'm good with it for a couple of days.
So there's lots of reasons for Minnesota. You know, people don't want to keep their house on the market in the winter, making them more motivated to sell it to you. So
exactly.
We hope that you will call us, because Miss Shelley here will take the time to look over your financials and coach you mm-hmm. on how to best structure your loan.
Right.
And that
absolutely.
Coaching is important.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the step-by-step process. It's, you know, I hate to call it hand-holding, but sometimes that's what
that's
feels
what
comfortable
need.
And
yeah,
that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no shame, like you said, Miss Shannon. That's mm-hmm. it's so important, because people do feel shame about money, and they feel like they ask silly questions, to Mimi's point. And there are no silly questions when money's involved. You have to ask so you feel comfortable.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Can you off the top of your head just think of a question or two that somebody typically has that you know, that they just didn't know?
So I've come to find that people have a real hard time with math.
Yeah.
They just simply do. Mm-hmm. So when you say to them, you're going to save 10%, people will say to me, how much is that?
Right.
Well, 10% of 400,000 is 40,000. Mm-hmm. That's, and I will do that math for you happily.
Right.
Perfect.
We're going to do some more math when you return. Also remind you the way that you can get in on our drawing for that turkey that we're going to be doing on Sunday, November 20th. You can be part of the show. Call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1. Here with our friend Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group. Also, our friend from Caliber Home Loans, Ms. Shelley Ferris. We always encourage you to be part of the show. You can call us at 651-641-1071. And going on now for the next couple of weeks, every colleague who calls in, they're also included in that drawing for that turkey giveaway. You can be just like Barb. Barb, thank you very much for calling the Red Hot Real Estate Show. What is your question for Mimi and Shelley? Hey, Barb.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead. What's your question?
If my husband and I wanted to buy a new home, and can we put it into our children's names so that we don't have any money invested? You know, we will pay for it, but we want to put it in our kids' names as an inheritance.
Okay, so that's kind of a little bit a legal question.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different ways to structure how you want your estate to be and how title is held. And, you know, there are some risks, in my opinion, of putting your home in your children's name without the proper legal documentation of how it really ought to go. And so I think what would be best, Barb, is if we give you a referral for a real estate attorney so that you can talk this through with them and make sure that you're making the appropriate title designation when you buy that house.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was an excellent question. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is an excellent
and
question.
And we've talked about the structure when you're doing your estate planning. We've talked about that before, that it is a matter of sometimes, like, you can put one, you can think it's the easy thing, but it really is more complicated. So it makes more sense to talk to a real estate attorney and make sure, well, what's your end goal? Putting their title, putting them on the title right now, you know, it really depends on if she's trying to improve their credit, then maybe just putting them on title doesn't matter when they really need to put them on the loan. Or if they just want to make sure they get it later, then it might be enough to put them eventually just on the title and see what happens.
You know, and the way my mind works, you know, what happens if there's a falling out down the road? If you don't have it spelled out exactly how it is, can those children sell that house out from under you?
Yeah.
And where do those proceeds go? And yeah,
right. And you should buy it in your own name and then maybe put it in a trust or something to that effect. But again, that's legal.
Exactly.
Legal advice.
Lots of good stuff.
There, right?
We don't practice law.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, but we do.
But we know the people that do.
Right. But we do practice giving away turkeys.
Yes. And so she is qualified into that. I know that she left her information with our producer, Hope. So that is our first person into the drawing bucket to get that. Yep. Exactly.
Barb's got a good chance of winning as of right now.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Ms. Shelley. Let's finish up our inflation and
interest rate.
Okay. Segment.
So just to kind of summarize that piece, to get it in your mind's eye, you know, what the Fed is doing is increasing the costs to buy big ticket items like houses and capital equipment and big things to that degree. And rising interest rates also tend to weigh on asset prices and reversing the wealth effect and all of that stuff. So that's what they're trying to do, is to cool that. As it's effect becomes known, that's what's then going to get us to a position where we'll be reducing interest rates and flooding the market again with money. So that is coming, but right now is the time to buy, even though that inflationary piece is in there, because now you've got your asset, you can always refinance that asset.
Right.
And we are seeing our sellers do concessions, folks. We are seeing, again, seller paid closing costs. We are seeing them do rate buy downs. We are seeing them offer up home warranties. So some of the things that we just could not make happen before, we're starting to see those things. And so those are all positives for our buyers.
And asking you both this question, it's, are there people out there that are going, oh, I missed my opportunity, so now I'm not going to try?
100%.
Okay.
100%. You know, you can, it just.
There shoulda, woulda, coulding it now.
Go online and you can get any kind of opinion you want.
Exactly.
Everybody's got one. Some of them have got three.
Right.
You know, so folks, if you're renting, we're calling out to you. We don't think that that's a smart financial move.
Right. Exactly.
This part of we.
Well, I mean, yeah, and this one too. This one agrees with that. I mean, I have some headlines here in front of me over the course of the past 6 years. And I mean, they've been talking about the sky falling and this housing bubble that we're in for 6 years. And to Mimi's point in the very first segment, people who bought 5 years ago are enjoying a $100,000 return on their investment at this time.
Right.
So you can't believe the headlines all the time, folks. You've got to talk to the experts. We're in our local market. We're talking to you about your situation, not what the news is talking about.
Right.
Exactly.
And every episode we've been talking about what's going on back to a specific community. So Mimi, you've been sharing some information.
Yes.
Basically city by city.
Yeah. And you know, so we talk about the whole metro as a 13 county metro.
Right.
We're a huge area, y'all. And we have 1.9 months of inventory currently as of the last report from the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors. And so The market that I've chose to talk about today is Northeast Minneapolis. So for 2021 to 2022, right now they have 56 new listings. They've closed 46 sales, and the median sales price for Northeast is $323,250.
Okay.
Their average price per square foot is $221. Their sellers are currently getting 99.9% of the original list price.
Okay.
They're typically taking 29 days until sale, so days on market, and they have currently 1.5 months of inventory in Northeast, and that makes up all of the different burbs of Northeast into one number. And so you can see how that real estate numbers are very, very hyper local.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, when you get into the cities like St. Paul and Minneapolis, it's very much, you know, a street or two can make a big difference. So those are the numbers for Northeast Minneapolis as of September. If you would like to get the numbers for your particular city, all you have to do is text your city to 651-578-2218.
Perfect.
Okay, Shelley, we're going to be talking bad blood.
There should be a song in that somewhere.
I know where that song comes from.
My D-I-V. What are we talking about, Shelley?
Oh, tumultuous
relationship.
Tumultuous. I thought that was such an appropriate word for this particular couple. So, little story. I had a couple that had a rocky relationship. I met them about 18 months ago, and it was just one of those meetings where at the end of it, you just kind of like, I got the vibe that this just isn't going to work out.
Right.
These poor folks, I don't know how long they had been married, but it wasn't.
They didn't appear to be on the same page anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, they lived in his parents' basement, but she didn't get along with the mother-in-law. Not at all. Like, not at all. They fought all the time. The couple needed to move out, and they tried to over a period of that 18 months. And she had terrible credit due to ignoring it, and he had borderline credit. So not a very good combo. And so when I met with them, I gave them each advice specific to themselves, and he took the advice and she did not.
Okay.
And there was always a reason why she didn't or couldn't or wouldn't do whatever work it was to fix the scores. And so it was always curious to me that like they didn't share anything. Like they both had their own credit cards. They both had their own bank accounts. There was nothing shared. This is a marriage, but there's nothing shared.
And, right.
You know, maybe that comes with time or whatever. It wasn't that odd, but it was
probably good because they weren't on the same page financially.
And I think that's
why
they did it.
Difference.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I think one of the partners had feelings about the other that was trust, you know,
yeah.
and trust is a big word in a marriage. It's enormous.
Agreed.
It's almost as big as love. So mm-hmm. it's just huge. So it was curious to me that they didn't share this stuff, but it also was curious to me that they never communicated about it. Like whatever they each did to their credit report, it was unveiled in front of me when they met. Like
these
are people that slept next to one another
yeah.
in a bed.
But they didn't talk about the money.
And they talked yep. about it there. So if that describes you and you think buying a house is what's going to help your relationship or fix your relationship, there's more going on than just not being able to have your own roof.
Yeah.
So I think you need to almost think about these things like you're getting your own affairs in order mm-hmm. just in case it doesn't work out. Because
I'm glad you say that.
Right?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. Buying a house, having a child, there's lots of things that are not going to, if you're not on the same page mm-hmm. with the way that you parent, if you're not on the same way with the way that you do your finances, that's not going to make your relationship stronger.
Right.
It exactly. just doesn't work that way.
No. Well, let's break it down a little bit, Shelley. So you said a couple things. You counseled them mm-hmm. about finances and the possibility of buying a house together mm-hmm. so that they could get out from underneath the in-laws' roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too much estrogen in one house.
Right, y'all. Is that sometimes?
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, so he took your advice and did what?
So he would do like the paying down of the credit debt. He would open another credit card to expose, you know, more grading for the credit to help his score improve.
Right.
All those, the kinds of things that I talk through in a normal consultation. And so
yes.
We talk about additional credit. We talk about balances. We talk about types of credit. We talk about that whole mix. Then we look at the collections or what's negative, and we look at how that's bringing it down. He was doing all that work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what was she not doing?
None of that work. Like there was always a reason. So, oh, I had to pay for this, or oh, I didn't have money for that, or oh, I forgot to call them, or oh, it's like, chick, it's been like 3 months.
And
what do you mean you forgot
things.
To call?
And so,
yeah.
in your opinion, she could have done it had she wanted to.
So there was enough things that didn't cost money or didn't, you know, take a lot of time that it was evident to me that she just didn't want to. Her heart wasn't in it. She didn't want to live in that basement anymore, but she didn't want to do the work that was going to fix the credit either.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Did they not buy a house?
They're divorcing. So
they're divorcing.
Ended up. Done. And that's why my advice is to keep on your own path, because your partner might not be on your path.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this part is exposing the fissure that means that really you're not meant to be
Absolutely.
For the long term.
And that is an excellent word.
Yes.
Fissure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Write that one down.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, so that's good, you know, that they didn't buy the house
mm-hmm.
together.
And
right.
they have to disentangle that as well.
Exactly.
And then now they have the opportunity, at least one of them,
right.
to buy a house.
Right.
You're going to have to live someplace, folks.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not going to be living up underneath there mm-hmm. like that.
No.
Okay.
Right. When we come back for our final segment, we are going to give you some more information about what's going on with the inflation and the interest rates out there. Also give you some information about how you can get out of that rent cycle. You can be part of the show. The number again is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. Also available at MyTalk1071.com. Just use that keyword Red Hot. Reminding you, this week and next week, we are getting you into this drawing for this turkey giveaway. All you have to do is call us with a great real estate or mortgage question. Leave your information with our producer, and then you're in the drawing. There's also a way you can get a second entry if you go ahead and like the Red Hot Real Estate Group Facebook page, or text buyer or seller to 651-578-2218. That text number again is 651-578-2218. All right. We do have to wrap up, but before we get back to that information, I want to make sure we go to the phones. We're going to start with Jenna. Jenna, thank you very much for calling. I'm very excited for you to get this question into the room, because we're here with our credit Contessa, and you have a question, I think, about paying off some debt before you buy your house. Is that right, Jenna?
Yeah. So I have $10,000 in credit card debt, but $10,000 in a loan. And in 3 years, though, I'll be like, I'll have finished paying off my car. And I also have a bankruptcy that'll fall off in 3 years. Should I try to clean my, you know, pay my credit off of my loan off now and try to get a house now, or wait the 3 years until the bankruptcy and until, you know, I'm through paying off my cars to try to get a house?
Well, good question. Excellent
and
question.
And also, I'm 51 years old and I've never had a home.
Oh my goodness.
Get you in a house.
Indeed. It's time. You've made that landlord rich enough, Gina. So, good question. I'm so glad you called. People ask this question all the time and they want to, like, Miss Shannon puts it, DIY it.
Yes.
And you want to try to figure it out on your own. But what we really need to do is assess your whole situation, not just your credit, not
right.
just the paying off of that debt. What's the income situation? What's tomorrow's income look like? Are you buying with anyone else? In general, I will tell you, it's not in your best interest to wait until all this debt is paid off 3 more years. Mimi shared with us in the beginning that people who bought 5 years ago are $100,000 richer today in equity. And had that been you, you'd have had the money to pay off all that stuff and then some because you have bought that house back then. So what we really need to do is look at what you can buy today and look at what it would mean to wait until tomorrow or 3 years from now and weigh those two out. And I'm guessing that it's going to be best to buy now. That's what my money is going to be on, but let's assess it and let's see, because those interest rates are going to drop. So today, don't be scared about those. They're going to drop and you can buy more house today than you will be able to in 3 years because of the horrible shortage of homes that we have on the market.
Right. Right. So thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling so much. Those were great questions.
And
we'll put you in touch with Shelly and you guys can meet and have a consultation.
Right. Because you deserve to get a house as you move into your 50s. So I concur. I concur.
Applaud you.
Yeah. Applaud you very much. So we're going to go to our next caller as well. Brenda, thank you very much for calling. It's also time for you to get your question in there into the room for Mimi and Shelly. What's your question, Brenda? Brenda?
Yes, hi.
Hey, Brenda, what's your question, please?
My question is, I currently own a condo. I had owned a home previously when I was married, and after my divorce, I rolled some of the equity into buying a condo. Now I'm thinking about buying a rental property to rent out for income as well as an investment opportunity, but I'm not quite sure what I need to do to set that in motion, and how much of a down payment I need. I guess just the whole situation. I don't know anyone else who's done it.
Okay, that's a great question.
Absolutely.
First of all, we've got to get the finance piece worked out, and that's where Shelly would come into play. She would meet with you and see exactly, based on what your income is and your assets, determine. Well, you tell them, Shelly.
Right, exactly. What you would qualify for and how much you could rent that property out for. And oftentimes we can even use the proposed rent on that property as income to help you qualify. So it's a whole bigger piece than just that. Generally speaking, you're going to want at least 20% down on an investment property. 20 to 30% is preferred. And that's what helps you get the best interest rates.
And were you thinking of a full-time rental or an Airbnb? Brenda.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you, unfortunately.
Yeah. Were you thinking of an Airbnb rental or a full-time rental?
I kind of go back and forth, but I think it might be simpler to have just like a permanent rental with like renters on a year lease, even though mm-hmm. it's possibly less income overall. I don't know what the risk is involved in some of those others. I think it's harder to have, especially if it's like a condo or something, to use that as an Airbnb these days. I guess I just don't really know.
Yeah. I agree. Looking into that personally as somebody who has a rental property, there's a lot of, they're really looking at that even like city by city and county by county now, because they want to make sure that there's living situations for people and we're not just having, you know, we're taking up all the housing,
right.
Which I, in general, mostly agree with. So I can't even complain.
Well,
so,
you know, there are moratoriums that are coming into place and that are already in place about the percentage of rentals in a community. And so there's lots of things that you're going to want to definitely make sure you've done your due diligence before you go into that. But we can talk about that more and maybe make a plan for you. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, Brenda, thanks for calling. It's a great question.
I'm excited. We had somebody that's going to get into their first home and somebody that's looking to make sure that they can add, you know, build their empire. So lots of options out there today.
I absolutely love it. Shelley, let's just talk a little bit about, let's conclude about the tumultuous relationships, especially if you happen to be in the middle of a separation or if you have already started thinking about a divorce.
Right, exactly. If that describes you, if that story really kind of hit home for you a little bit, I really think that it's the best thing for you to do is to, you know, stand up and take charge of yourself. And if you're thinking of buying a home, if you're thinking about what your living situation is going to be, we need a consultation. So we need to pull your credit, make sure your credit is in order. We need to check out your income and see what you can buy on your own, or if you're going to need a co-signer, maybe a family member or something.
Right.
Or just kind of put that piece together. It may not be your right answer, but it might be an answer. So we can talk about the path. And then, of course, you need to meet with a trusted realtor, Mimi, and make sure that you can get the house that you're looking for and what area that's going to mean.
Right. Well, and having those questions answered before you make those final, okay, I'm going to dissolve this situation. Because we've talked before that there are certain things you can get from your attorney and things so that you can set yourself up best doing this.
You definitely want to explore all of these things before you actually divorce and ultimately before you sign an official separation. Because the two of you together could qualify for more home, perhaps, than if you are officially separated. So what are the rules, Shelley, for the separation with regard to mortgage?
So if you're separated, if you filed, then you're separated or you're filed. But if you have not yet, if there's nothing legal and you want to make sure that the person you're leaving behind is taken care of, maybe there's children involved, maybe you buy the house together and then you let the divorce attorneys figure out how the ownership and stuff works in the end.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And to that point, DIY divorces, We don't think that's a good thing.
It's
worth the money to pay somebody to make sure it's structured exactly the way you want it to be structured.
Right.
Mistakes cost a lot of money.
Right. And so we appreciate everybody that called in today. You are in for that drawing. We're going to have some more people get qualified next week as well. If you want to hear this episode or previous episodes, go to our website, mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.